Reading can be found on page 1179 in your church Bibles. And reading from Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Amanda. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to grab this stand from Adam, if you don't mind, Adam. Hopefully not disrupt your song sheets too much. Where is he? Is that all right? Thank you. It's too late now, isn't it? Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word. And as we look at your word together this morning, may it find its place in each of our hearts. Meet with us, Lord. Speak to us and transform us more into the likeness of Jesus, we pray. In his precious name. Amen. 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 Got the slides on, that would be great, thank you. Well, I was 20 years old when I became a Christian, only a few years ago. I'd been spending 2 or 3 years chatting to a friend of mine who was a Christian, and eventually I agreed to go to church. One Sunday evening, up in Cheadle Hume in Cheshire, an Anglican church. And I went into church and sat down, and my friend later said to me, when he saw who was down to preach, his heart sank, because the person who was down to preach was renowned as being a bit of a boring preacher, somebody who would rattle on and on and on and on. This gives me great encouragement as I stand up to preach this morning. And the reason it gives me encouragement is that God really met me through this boring preacher that would go on and on and on. God really spoke to me. I was not bored at all as I listened to this gentleman speak. God spoke so clearly to me and said, what you're looking for, you found here tonight. You found the living God. You belong with me. And I still thought about it for 2 days. And then on a Tuesday night, after that Sunday, I read a very early version of this little pamphlet, Why Jesus, written by Nicky Gumbel. And at the end of this, there's a prayer that says, I give my life to you, Jesus. And I prayed it on my knees in my bedroom on that Tuesday night and gave my life to Jesus. And my life was changed from that moment. Some things radically and some things in a very slow way, God is still working in my life. And the next day, I thought, I've got another friend who's a Christian. I'll ring him and tell him what I've done. He's going to be really pleased to hear this news. So I rang him up and I said to him, I've become a Christian. I've given my life to Jesus. And it really surprised me how he responded. He said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. And I thought, well, hang on a minute. I've done something here. I've given my life to Jesus. I thought you'd be pleased. But he's not saying, well done, Marcus. He's saying, praise be to God. He was praising God for God's work in my life. He was praising God for what God had done. And I started off on my journey of following Jesus that night, that Tuesday night. And also of learning, what is my part in this following Jesus thing, in this walking as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus? What is my work in that? And what is God's work? What's God doing and what am I doing? Now, we are working through this letter to the church in Philippi written by the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul has a big heart for this church, doesn't he? And he wants this church to mature in their faith, to grow as Christians. And I believe God wants the same for us here at St. Mary's in Withall, in this location here, or wherever you're from. God wants us to grow as his people and mature. So how do we do that? How do we grow? How do we mature on this journey? Manda asked this same question last week as we looked at this call to grow in humility. And she said, well, how do we do that? Is it a case of just trying really, really hard to mature in Christ and to grow in our faith? If anyone's ever tried that here, tried really, really hard to live a life that pleases God, you'll know how impossible that is. We just can't do it in our own strength. It's why God sent his Spirit to empower us to live this life. And if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all things that we need that help us to live out this Christian life. And the Spirit reminds us of Jesus' teaching, of what we read in the Bible. God sent his Son, Jesus, to die on that cross, to do what we couldn't do, to make us right with God. And then he sends his Spirit to help us to live that life, to walk that path, being obedient to Christ. So God sent his Son, God sent his Spirit so that we could do it. So maybe we don't need to do anything. Maybe we can just simply sit back and let go and let God do all the work. Not bother with coming along on a Sunday morning, maybe. Not bother with worshipping and praying and looking at the Bible. It's all a bit of hard work, isn't it, sometimes? But Paul here, in this letter to the Philippians, he says, no, that's not the way. There's work for you to do as God does his work in you. There's work for us to do as God does his work in us. If you have got a Bible, please do have it open. I'm going to be referring a lot to these verses. But the first verse I want to look at is verses 12 and 13. It's not working that, Rob, if you wouldn't mind going on to the next one. Where Paul writes this, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Continue to work out your salvation, for it is God who works in you. Paul wants to reassure the church in Philippi that they've been saved. God's work has been accomplished in them. They have been saved in Christ, and they've become God's children. He says that in verse 15. But he also says, so work out your salvation in fear and trembling. He wants to encourage them to continue their work in maturing. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says that we are co-workers with God. He says, we plant seeds, telling others about Jesus. He says, others water that seed, teaching others about Jesus, maybe running an alpha course. Then he says, but only God will make that seed grow. And it's the same with our own growth, our own maturing as followers of Jesus. There's something for us to do, but we do it confident that God is at work in us. So in a sense, we're co-workers with God. So what is our part? What do we do to work out our salvation? Paul says we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I don't think that's going to work today. Now, some of you will know that my wife and I, we love the Lake District and we go up there quite a lot. And I was up there on my own a couple of weeks ago, walking along some country lanes. And I turned sort of a right angle along a country lane. And I was praying as I was walking Just praying, Lord, show me how to live a life that is closer to you. Show me how to walk more closely with you. Show me, Lord, as I wander along these lanes. And I turn this corner and I find myself walking along with a field next to me with quite a flimsy fence. You can just see the fence there. And a field full of cows. And this cow was enormous. And it was right up by the fence, looking out into the lane. So as I walked along, I stopped and turned. I looked this cow in the face for about half a second because it was terrifying. And it would not break its gaze with me. You can see in that photo. I thought, I'm going to take a quick photo of this. I felt in awe of this cow. I felt full of trepidation. I felt a bit small. I felt a bit afraid. And then I just felt the Lord speak to me. I felt the Lord speak to me as I looked at this cow. I felt the Lord say, you want a walk that is closer with me? Then learn the fear of the Lord. Learn what the fear of the Lord is all about. And then I continued walking down that lane, just mulling over that. What does that mean? What does that mean? The fear of the Lord, it's a funny phrase, isn't it? It makes some of us feel a bit uncomfortable. But the fear of the Lord isn't about being terrified of an angry, unpleasant, nasty God who's out to get you. The fear of the Lord is more about a posture of a healthy respect for Almighty God, for that all-powerful God. It's an awareness of the one who holds all things together in his hands. That's what Scripture says. And yet gave it all up for you and for me. Because he loves us, because he longs for us to know him. The fear of the Lord, I think, is an understanding of how precious our salvation is, how precious the gospel is, remembering that cost to God himself. That salvation is a precious thing to be treasured. And so we respect God, we honor God. I love the Message version of this. If you could pop that on, please. Thank you. We are to be energetic in our life of salvation, reverent and sensitive. I find that very helpful as I try to understand what the fear of the Lord means. Reverence and sensitivity before God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of, anyone know? Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we live with that healthy posture of knowing who God is, respecting him, we'll choose well. We'll choose like we want to please God with that healthy reverence before him. We'll find ourselves living in obedience to God. Paul writes to the church in Philippi, verse 12, stay obedient. You've been obedient with me with you, but be even more obedient when I'm absent. Grow in obedience. It's at the heart, isn't it, of following Jesus. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. You'll obey my teaching. So we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And as we do that, there's a promise that God will work in us to fulfill his good purpose. God works in us. Next one, please. Thank you, Rob. It's a great reassurance for the church in Philippi, and it's a great reassurance for you and I today that as we work out our salvation, God is at work. God will be at work. In John 5, Jesus says, my Father is always at work. The Greek word that Paul uses in this letter is energeo. It means work that is effective. It means work that will achieve its purpose, what it sets out to do. It's not like when I bake a cake and hope it will rise when I take it out of the oven. It's trusting and confidence that what God wants to achieve will happen, simply because he's at work. So it's work that will achieve its purpose. And God's working in us as we work out our salvation. And he will achieve his purposes in us. And he never stops working. Paul writes that this is to be done in the context of community. We work at our salvation alongside our sisters and our brothers in Christ. Now, if you're a regular attender here at St. Mary's, you'll think, well, that sounds familiar. We're talking about how we are with each other. And we've been talking about that a lot, haven't we, for 18 months, 2 years, after a summer series that we did. Was it last year we did the summer series on that? So just over a year, really, talking a lot about what it means to be God's people together. Paul's mentioned that already in this letter. In chapter 1, Adam helped us look at what it means that our love may abound more and more for each other. Paul writes that we're to stand together, stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Because when we're called into friendship with God, we're called into fellowship with each other. We're called into fellowship with other believers. I hope you'll like this next slide. We are not called to be boiled eggs. We are called to be scrambled eggs. Doesn't a boiled egg look nice and neat? But we are called to be broken before each other. We are called to do life together. It might get a bit messy, but we are called to be scrambled eggs, living life together. This is how we live as the children of God. This is how we live as the children of God, doing life together. And living as the children of God, this is, by the way, obediently working out our salvation, living as the children of God, has an inward quality and also an outward quality. The inward quality is how we are with each other, and the outward quality is how we're seen by the world. And these two qualities are closely linked, aren't they? We've said it before. A church who is living in unity with each other, they are a powerful witness to the world that is broken, to a world that is struggling to make sense of what life is all about. A church who are living in unity are a powerful witness to a broken world that there is a better way. So Paul writes in this letter, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Seems to me this isn't optional. This isn't something where we get to pick and choose when this applies, which situations we will do this in, or even who this applies to, or who it applies with. You know, from every word we say to a person's face, to what we say behind that person's back, from how we show and share our emotions outwardly, to the thoughts that we entertain deep within our minds and our hearts. In everything, we are not to grumble, we are not to complain or criticize, but we're to be willing to serve others. This is what Paul was writing about earlier in this chapter. Amanda helped us look at that last week, this call to humility. If you've got your Bible open, look at verse 4. In humility, we're to value others above ourselves, not looking to our own interests, but to the interests of others. In our relationships with one another, we're to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Verse 7, who became nothing, who emptied himself and became like a servant. Therefore, my dear friends, keep obedient and live like this. Live as though you truly believe you are the children of God. Live as though you truly believe that you are the children of God. And if you live like that, that inward quality, then that outward quality will be apparent. The world will notice. We will shine like stars as we put our effort into being obedient to Christ, submitting to his work in us. The consequence is that we will shine like stars, holding out good news, as Paul puts it, in a warped and crooked generation. That's God working in us. That's God working through us. The Message puts it like this: go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the world. That's what we're to do as we work out what it means to be God's children. And as we look around, we do see a world that is crying out for good news, don't we? We do see a broken world that is crying out for this message of life in all its fullness. Hope, the hope of Jesus Christ, the peace that passes understanding, the comfort of God Almighty. In a prayer meeting earlier this week, we were reflecting on what it means to hide under God's wings. It says that we will hide under the feathers of his wings, to know that comfort, that forgiveness, that freedom, that purpose in life. And the promise of a new heaven and a new earth, one day when everything will be as it should be, when there will be an end to the suffering and the brokenness we see today. We have good news to bring to a broken world. Such good news. Let us bring it. Let us shine like stars in the sky as we work out what it means to live as God's children in this place. Paul says, live like this and you will shine like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Now, I've got a slightly newer translation of the NIV Bible, the New International Version. And my translation in verse 16 says, you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. But if you've got a church Bible in front of you, it'll say, not as you hold firmly to the word of life, it'll say, as you hold out the word of life. So which is it? Well, it's both. And as people have tried to understand what Paul's saying in this, it's very hard to distinguish between the two. We are to hold firmly to the word of life. We're to stand firm on his truth, trusting that he speaks to us through Scripture, through the Bible. And we're also to hold out the word of life at the same time, ready to tell others about our faith, ready to give an explanation for why we believe this, why this is important to us, holding on firmly and holding out the word of life. We've talked about praying for opportunities, haven't we, to share our faith, to talk about Jesus, because we believe this is the best news in the world. Looking for opportunities to invite people. We want to grow as an inviting church, don't we? Inviting people to Sunday mornings, inviting people to opportunities to learn more about Jesus, whether that's the Alpha course or the 3-2-1 course. It's like holding a lantern firmly because we don't want to drop it, because it's giving us light. But as we hold it high, it also provides light for others. So as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, as we live as God's children, God's promise is he will work in us and that we will shine like stars in the sky, stars in the universe, good news stars in the sky, holding out the hope of Jesus Christ to this world. So I wonder, as we look at this short passage in Philippians this morning, I wonder what God's saying to you and to me. I wonder if God's making you aware of his work in your life. Maybe he's calling you. Maybe he's revealing to you or reminding you that he's done the work for you to save you. Jesus dying on that cross in your place and in my place, that we might be forgiven and free to come before God. Maybe just like me those years ago when I was 20, in that church service in the evening, when I said yes to God, when I encountered him. Maybe today is your day to say yes to God, to respond to what he has done and what he is doing If that's you, we would love to speak with you. We really would. Please, I'd love to speak to you. Amanda would love to speak with you. It might be that you've come with a friend, somebody that you trust. Please speak to somebody before you leave this morning. Or maybe God's reminding you of ways that he's calling you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Maybe there's a bit of work to do to live in the fear of the Lord, seeking a closer walk with him. Maybe there's some work to do in thinking about how we meet as God's children, as we do life together as part of this church family, that we be not boiled eggs, but scrambled eggs together. As we submit to God's work in us, and as we give ourselves to living the life that he calls us to live, he promises we'll be people holding out the word of life to others, shining like stars in the sky. Good news to a broken world. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you that you've saved us. Thank you that you've done everything needed for us to come before you, to find new life in you, purpose, forgiveness, freedom, hope, comfort and peace, wholeness and life in all its fullness. Thank you for what you have done. Help us to respond to that, Lord, in honesty. Help us to say yes to you. And thank you that you call us to work as well. Thank you that we are your children. Teach us, Lord, what it means to be your children. Teach us that posture of emptying ourselves that we may serve each other and love each other with that Christ-like love. Teach us and grow us, Lord. And may the result of that be that we cannot help but hold out your good news to the world around us. Oh Lord, would your light shine brightly for your glory in this place, in Hollywood and Withall, in the places that we represent here this morning, Lord.